This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. In Washington, the independent executive branch agency that looks into possible wrongdoing, that's the Government Accountability Office, is investigating three cases of the Bush administration allegedly paying journalists to advocate its policies. The White House says it's not going to allow this practice anymore. Some Democrats say the administration has gone beyond public relations and into propaganda. As Day to Day's Madeline Brand reports, that's a hard standard to define.
Perhaps propaganda is like pornography. You know it when you see it. But that also depends on who's doing the seeing. Just Say No to Drugs, public service announcement, or brainwashing. It's a line President Bush has faced recently after his administration was caught paying journalists. Armstrong Williams received $240,000 to promote the president's education policies. Maggie Gallagher was paid nearly $22,000 to work on the president's Healthy Marriage Initiative. And Michael McManus received $10,000 to promote that initiative. At a recent news conference, President Bush told reporters that was wrong.
All our cabinet secretaries must realize that we will not be paying, commentators to advance our agenda. Our agenda ought to be able to stand on its own 2 feet. I'm confident you'll be, over the course of the next 4 years, willing to give our different policies an objective look, won't you?
But there's the rub, having to rely on the press to convey information to the people. And so, since the beginning of the Republic, presidents have tried to get around the middleman, says John Maltese, author of the book Spin Control.
If you go back to 1789, none other than Alexander Hamilton created a newspaper called the Gazette of the United States that was a mouthpiece for the Federalist Party. And the Federalists rewarded this newspaper by giving it contracts to print the laws for a period of time. So they were getting money for reporting the news of the administration the way the administration wanted.
During World War I, Woodrow Wilson created the Committee on Public Information to promote that war, and later FDR paid hundreds of people to write press releases about the value of the New Deal.
I guess the difference was that was more on view. People realized what was going on.
And to make sure people knew the difference, Congress passed a law against propaganda in 1952. It's actually a rider that's been attached to appropriations bills since then, and it basically says none of the appropriated money to the executive branch can be used for domestic publicity or propaganda purposes. President Nixon found ways around it, though. According to John Maltese, Nixon created the modern political communication strategy when he broadened the scope of the White House press office. That office applied campaign-style tactics to everyday operations. Nixon increasingly demanded more sophisticated and covert tactics in managing the news and the press. In one instance, Maltese says the White House wrote letters to the editor, sent them out to supporters across the country, who then copied them over and sent them to major newspapers and magazines.
And part of the twist that was used by the Nixon administration was that these letters were not designed to be critical. In fact, they supposedly came from anti-Nixon liberals, and they would thank oftentimes columnists for revealing Nixon to be what they called the shallow and dangerous man that he obviously was. One of these went to John Osborne of the New Republic. This actually provoked a response from John Osborne, a sort of troubled, soul-searching response, where he said that he needed to go back and review his work to make sure that it was being objective. And so the Nixon administration got precisely what it wanted.
Maltese says Jeb Stuart Magruder was the mastermind of that press operation. I reached Magruder at his home in Ohio, where he's a retired Presbyterian minister, and asked him about this tactic to get journalists to second-guess themselves.
So that's a pretty clever thing to think to do on your part.
Well, I appreciate the compliment. I'm not sure that's a compliment.
Well, what do you think of that now?
Well, of course, having been in the ministry for 20 years, I wouldn't think very well of it. But if you want to stay in the White House, you do what the president wants.
And there have been similar efforts since then. The Reagan White House paid consultants to write op-ed pieces. Jimmy Carter created and fed radio spots to local news stations. President Clinton did that with television. And this Bush administration has spent millions of dollars on outside contracts with PR firms. According to an analysis by congressional Democrats, the administration has spent $250 million on public relations contracts, about twice as much as President Clinton did in his second term. Some of that money paid for video news releases like this one.
When President Bush signed the Medicare Prescription Drug Improvement and Modernization Act into law last month, Millions of people who are covered by Medicare began asking how it will help them.
That's a PR woman named Karen Ryan in a video news release put out by the Department of Health and Human Services that touted the administration's prescription drug plan. You'd be excused if you thought it was a news report. Apparently, quite a few television news directors did too, like Mike Cutler of WTVF in Nashville, who put it on the air last year.
We aired it, and we didn't hear from a single person. No complaints. Until John Stewart mentioned it on his program, that we had been one of the stations, the 40-plus stations, that had done so.
So what did you think?
Well, I thought that the fault lies with us because that the story was identified as a video news release.
But not clearly enough for the Government Accounting Office, which found that the administration violated the propaganda law by not making it obvious that the tape came from the government. The GAO found a similar problem with an anti-drug news release. In both cases, the issue was the covert nature of the material, the fact that the public could not discern that these messages were coming from the White House. This effort to covertly circumvent the press reminds author John Maltese of the Nixon White House. He says President Bush has set up a similar us-versus-them mentality, thinking the press is the enemy.
That's when you start getting into this mindset where it seems to make sense to engage in some of these actions like paying columnists and writing these letters to the editor and so forth.
But the Bush administration has been using another strategy that doesn't risk crossing the propaganda line. Journalists have complained that the White House doesn't give enough information, that officials are adept at giving non-answers to their questions if they give interviews at all. And that may indeed be more effective than massaging information. No news is good news. Madeline Brand, NPR News, Los Angeles.